Talking about technology in the coming year, 2013, where we're likely to go, what's it going to mean? What's it going to mean for you? Trev Davis is here from the business internet service provider Tomiko, and we've spoken about superfast broadband. We should see some movement with that in Lincolnshire this year. We've spoken about 4G. Will we get it in Lincolnshire? I don't know, but things are moving ahead. Where are we with... occasionally we see news articles about this, what they call the Snooper's Charter. What is that? That's the government being able to look at everything we do online, is it?
Yeah, it's very worrying, isn't it? Big Brother is watching you. The government, I'm sure, didn't like it being called the Snooper's Charter because they had very genuine reasons for wanting to monitor all your online activity. They want to stop terrorists flying planes into the side of buildings and catch crooks and stuff, which is fine. But what they actually wanted to do was monitor all of your online activity. If you visit Facebook, they want to know. If you sent an instant message, they wanted to know who you sent an instant message to. And there are all sorts of privacy implications that were accrued as a result of that. And instead of producing a bill, they backpedaled a bit and called it a draft bill. And during the course of the committee process of figuring out whether this was a good thing to do or not, they had over 90 pieces of written evidence. 10 of them were for the charter from the likes of the Home Office and the police, but the vast majority were against it, and they were all against it for all sorts of reasons. Technical reasons: can you actually do what you're trying to do? Are the cost justifications that you'd put in the case for it valid? And there were such good points made that they've now backtracked from the original. Remember, they backtracked once from making it a bill to a draft bill, and now they've had to go back and rewrite it because the committee threw it out and said this isn't a very well written piece of legislation. They still want to do something, so we are expecting to see some kind of cut down Snooper's Charter, but I don't think it's going to be with the scale of things. So it's not going to be monitoring our every single online move, which is, of course, a good thing for everyone. The only problem is the government comes out with these things every 2 or 3 years, so we, as a world, have to battle these ideas.
But in any argument that they would have for anything like this, it would be the war on terror, wouldn't it? They would say, we need... And who wouldn't agree with that?
You know, you're right. You're absolutely right. And it's very easy to see why... You know, people will say, yeah, I want to stop, and I do, I want to stop terrorists. The question is how much am I willing to pay for that? How much am I willing to sacrifice for my own privacy? Because what they were talking about doing was having a database with records of everything that you do online. And somebody at some point will lose or steal that database. It happens all the time, you know, and it's usually a civil servant leaving a laptop on a bus or something like that, and your entire medical records are made public. And that's an inevitability that it would happen. And so if they have all this information kept about you, then all of a sudden they would find that your hobby is a really interesting and an amusing thing, which is perhaps can be quite embarrassing. And it could be, you know, it could be that you're an alcoholic and you're searching Alcoholics Anonymous websites, or you've got something wrong with you, you're researching a medical problem. And all this information potentially could come out into the open. And so the question is to what extent do you want your privacy as a nation invaded versus how much do you want... And you have to remember that there are other means of catching crooks, and if the police were given that amount of money, because the money was having to be taken from existing police funding, so would you rather spend all this money on developing this Snooper's Charter technology, or would you rather have more policemen on the beat? Then I suspect a lot of policemen would say, well, I'd rather have more policemen on the beat.
Is it technically possible at the moment for, say, if they wanted to track one person, could they come to an internet service provider and say, right, this customer of yours, we want to know what they're doing and where they're going and what they're looking at?
It's technically possible. The problem is that if you're not already doing it, which people aren't, the amount of money that you'd have to spend to put the capability in place would be quite disproportionate to the benefits of tracking that person. You can already find out, you know, for example, mobile phone service providers, you know, your O2s of this world, they track where you are all the time, because their system has to know where your mobile phone is in order for it to be able to make phone calls, okay? And a lot of the requests made by the police these days are to service providers are actually for details of where a certain mobile phone was at a certain time. So there's an awful lot that can be found out about you already. It is possible to track which websites you visited, but people don't do it because so much surfing goes on. You'd have to have massive databases, storage, memory disks, just to serve to keep that information, which is of absolutely no commercial worth to you whatsoever.
It's interesting now, isn't it? The computer will be the first thing get seized these days, because you can go back and see where people have been, and mobile phone records. When we've spoken about car crashes in Lincolnshire as well, that comes up because they can tell, they can get the information, and they can see if you were on the phone at the time you were driving, or if you received or sent a text message at the time that crash happened. They know.
Yeah, and I think it's that kind of evidence is used in murder cases and things like that.
It's very interesting. Mobile. We spoke about 4G earlier on. Mobile phones themselves, the actual handsets. We moved from the bricks to the smartphones, the phones that can go on the internet and watch TV and do everything else. Where are we going with these?
Well, it is the whole technology world. This is the battleground, if you like, because these handsets are so powerful now and can do so many things. You can navigate your way somewhere. You can talk to it and ask how to get somewhere, or what's the price of soap in Abu Dhabi, or I don't know, whatever you want.
Very handy.
That's right. You never know when you're going to need that information. So that's where the focus and the technological wars are happening. And one of the reasons that that the war is happening there is because a lot of the revenue in the technology world these days comes from advertising. So a lot of business models, like Google, for example, give practically everything away, because every time you use a Google browser, you get a little advert down the side, and they make billions and billions of pounds a year out of that. But because people are moving away from the desktop, from their PCs, to using their mobiles for everything, then Google has wanted to move in on that, and they've got an operating system called Android, which I'm sure everybody's familiar with, which is supported by lots of different phone manufacturers now. So Google have gone after the mobile space. Microsoft are also trying to get at the mobile space, far less successfully, but Microsoft on the desktop have Windows 8 now, and they've got Windows 8 Mobile, which they are gradually trying to build up and trying to compete with Google and with Apple, who, of course, have desktop as well. So you've got this interesting fight coming up, I think, in 2013, where Microsoft will be throwing hundreds of millions of pounds at trying to get people to buy their phones. Because classically, people don't think of Microsoft as a phone manufacturer. They think of computers, don't they? Google will be doing the same thing. In fact, Google are bringing out their own phone called the... I forget what it's called now, the X phone, which... And Microsoft are using Nokia, and we've got Apple, of course, who everybody's familiar with, keep bringing out iterations of the same thing. And it's interesting, in the run-up to Christmas and New Year, you get all these little predictions coming out of the woodwork, and I noticed the Daily Mirror the other day spreading the rumour that Microsoft are going to be launching a phone watch, which is one of these things that you've always thought about in science fiction, isn't it? Beam me up, Scotty, or something. But these things are so powerful now. And you don't actually need to be able to touch these things. You can speak into them. It's amazingly good, this voice recognition. So it's not difficult to imagine that people speaking into their watches saying, beam me up to Abu Dhabi, Scotty, or show me where Abu Dhabi is, continuing with the theme. So we've got, Samsung, who is the world's biggest phone manufacturer. I use the Samsung Galaxy S3. The S4 is rumoured to be coming out in February. And HTC. The thing about the mobile phone business is that once you've bought a phone, it's almost out of date, because people are bringing another one along somewhere, aren't they? And as a technologist, The problem I've got is that there are so many of these things now that I can't possibly keep up. There's no point in me having three or four phones just to play with them to see what they're like, because I can't physically use them. You know, and they all cost money. They're all £400 or £500 each, these phones. You know, that's a heck of a lot of hardware left on your desk.
But it's now, as you're saying, not just the actual handset, but it's the whole concept.
Yes, it is.
Of using your mobile phone for things, and this is where advertising is going to be, and this is why these big companies want to be where people are online.
And they're in mobile and they're on the desktop, because they're very synergistic. You still need to use your computer for some things where it's not practical to type a letter on a mobile phone, right? And also, it's moving into what's called the cloud, isn't it? Which is this ethereal, wishy-washy thing, but it's actually a computing platform, massive computing platform, which is provided by, you know, Google do it, Apple do it, the iCloud. You can store your photos, you can store your documents. And so that's where the whole world is moving to, and it all ties in with superfast broadband, actually, and mobile broadband, because to get your information off your phone or your desktop into the cloud, you need to have fast broadband, right? And you can see the whole of the technology world coming together.
And 2013 is going to be one of those coming together years?
Oh, it's constantly coming together.
Constantly
evolving.
Fascinating. Thank you very much. Thanks for coming in.